You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. Matthew Leach talking New York Mets with MLB.com's Mets beat reporter, Anthony DiComo. It's been a strange week, month for the Mets, as there continues to be a lot of talk. And as we talked about last week, they continue to say, look, I don't know what you're expecting. We've done what we said we were going to do. One area where there hasn't been a lot of movement is the bullpen. Do you think that there is more to come with the Mets bullpen between now and the beginning of spring training?
No, I don't think there's more to come, especially not in terms of big names. I think what they have to sort out is who's going to pitch where. Right now it's somewhat straightforward because you have Henry Mejia, who did pretty well in the closer's role last year, and Bobby Parnell, who had Tommy John surgery, is probably not going to be ready on opening day. I mean, you're looking more along May for him. But what happens if Mejia is doing good but not great, and then Parnell comes back on May 1st, say, and do you just give him the job? Do you let them battle it out? And then you've got a couple of wild cards in there, and Jarrett Familia, who probably had a better year than anyone in the bullpen last year, and there's certainly some people who think he should be the closer over Mejia, and Vic Black, who's always been looked at as that closer type guy who throws really hard, who has that mentality for it, maybe more than Familia has the mentality for it. So you've got four candidates really, and the guy who currently has the job, Mejia, you wonder if he's the top of the list. He might be number three or four on the list if you're going by just looking at it objectively. So it's going to be an interesting situation. They have the bullpen more or less set with those four guys. You've got Carlos Torres coming back. You've got Josh Eggen as a left-hander. And then you've got the Sean Gilmartins and the Buddy Carlisle of the world battling it out for those final two spots. But in terms of adding pieces, they're done. It's just sorting out what they have now. And it really has the potential to be a strength for this team.
Do you expect that to be a competition in spring training, or is that Mejia's job to lose?
I would say it's Mejia's job to lose right now. Now, if he goes out and this is just an example because I don't really envision it happening, but if he comes into camp overweight, say, and just puts up some bad spring numbers and Familia is as lights out as he usually is, yeah, I think they would have to give a look at Familia at that point, just given what he's done, given how hard he throws, given the success that he's had late in games, but you could also look at it the other way, where Familia is your best reliever and you've got him in a situation where he's not the closer. That's sort of every manager's dream, or at least every statistician's dream, where you can put your best reliever and save him for the highest leverage spots. But it really looks like Mejia's job to lose coming into spring training. And it might be that he does lose it as soon as Parnell's healthy. It's really going to depend on how Parnell's throwing at that point as well.
What do you think it's fair to expect from Parnell, not just as far as a date, but just as far as what he is when he comes back?
It's the same as you look at a lot of these Tommy John guys. The velocity is probably going to be there. Now, how is he going to command it? I know we've talked about this a lot in previous podcasts with Matt Harvey. You expect him to be throwing as hard as he always has, but that's not everything at the major league level. Is he going to be able to spot it to both sides of the strike zone? When Parnell specifically went from being a mediocre reliever to a good one is really when he stopped throwing 97, 98 and trying to throw it by everyone, and when he started sitting in that 93, 94 range and was really, mixing it to both sides of the strike zone, really picking his spots in terms of location and then working in that breaking ball very well. So if those are the things that made him good in the first place, is he going to be able to do that right away with Tommy John surgery? It's hard to tell. And it's going to depend a lot on how he comes out of this rehab, how he looks in spring training. He'll be on a mound by that point. We'll be able to see him. He'll be facing batters. But is it going to be enough to make the team out of spring training? Probably not. Is it going to be enough to make the team within a month or two of the start of the season? Probably. Is it going to be enough to unseat Mejia for the closer? That's a very tall order, considering, how well Mejia has thrown himself in the closer's role and how difficult it is just to come back at 100% right away from that surgery.
Do you anticipate any of these young starters being a factor in the relief corps?
I think Rafael Montero, certainly. You look at him, he's a guy who might wind up being a reliever long-term anyway. Scouts are still kind of mixed on if he can start. I think he has a very good chance to open camp in the bullpen. He's really proven all he can prove at this point in the minor league, so there's not a whole lot of point of bringing him back down to Las Vegas and having him start. The other guy to keep an eye on is Steven Matz. They love this guy. I know Wally Backman, the AAA manager, has raved about him. And with not a lot of great left-handed options behind Josh Edgen in the bullpen, they can give him a very long look at coming in as that second lefty in the bullpen out of camp. Now, that one I think is probably a little less likely to happen, only because they want him to develop as a starter. They're not going to want to start his service time clock and all of that. But that's a name that you might see resurface even in May or June as a guy who would come in the bullpen, much like Montero did from the right side this year.
And the one sort of news that continues to burble around the Mets here is we've talked for a while about the possibility of trading a starter. It now sounds like that starter is going to be Dylan G, and it sounds like it might be sooner than later. Where does that stand as we talk now?
I like that word, burble. it's the market this time of year is really when it starts heating up. The John Lesters of the world are all but gone, so teams are starting to look at the lower tier guys. Aaron Harang signed recently, and that was floated to me as the comp for Dylan G. You see these guys coming up the board, and teams that whiffed or were never really interested in the first place in the top tier guys, they're looking around saying, well, what can we get now? Hey, I heard Dylan G's out there. He has three more years of team control. He's a pretty solid middle of the rotation guy. Maybe it wouldn't take a whole lot to get him, and it wouldn't. So I think the phone is going to start ringing, if it hasn't already, a lot more frequently. And, the Mets are pretty committed to trading Dylan G at this point. They have six guys for five spots. They don't want to put him in the bullpen and pay him $5 million to be a long man. And it doesn't sound like they're really asking for the world here. So I'd be very surprised if Dylan G is still on the team in February 15th.
And you said, would that move mostly be the benefit of that would be a roster spot? What are they looking for? Is it almost just sort of whatever is the best offer out there?
Well, it's two things. You get the roster spot certainly is a big thing because you go into camp without that storyline of who's going to be out of the rotation. You've got six guys, blah, blah, blah. But the other side of that is it is $5 million for a team that has a payroll of roughly 100, and it might be less than that come opening day. But if that's what they want to do and that's what they're going to stick with, if this is a team that's in contention on July 15th and all of a sudden you have that $5 million in the bank that you can add to your payroll, it frees them up to do a move, not necessarily now because they're pretty much done adding pieces for the offseason, but later, once the season starts, once the trade deadline comes around, to add a piece that could put you over the top, the difference between winning 87 games and winning 90 and getting into the playoffs. So that's the type of thing they're looking at. It is a risk because it sort of takes away from your rotation depth, which was one of the strengths of your team. But they're pretty confident that between Rafael Montero and Steven Matz, who we discussed, and also Noah Syndergaard, who's very much on the prospect radar still, that they have enough depth to get by without Dylan G.
And then as we kind of bolt around this club, they've done some things to bolster the offense. They bring in Kadir. They bring in a sort of Kadir light in Mayberry, and it looks like it hopefully will be a better offense next year. Who's the guy at the top? Who's the leadoff man? Is it Lagares again, or do they find another option somehow?
Right now, it's Juan Lagares until he proves or unless he proves that he can't do it. They really want this experiment to work. And not even necessarily because Lagares is particularly suited to it, but because no one else in the starting eight really is. And that's not to say Lagares can't do it. He's definitely shown flashes of being a very good contact hitter. He obviously needs to be a little more patient. But he's got the skills there. He certainly seems to have the will to improve. And if he can, get that on-base percentage up into a reasonable territory for a leadoff hitter, he's definitely the best option. One thing that I find interesting with Lagares at leadoff And I know speed isn't the be-all and end-all of a leadoff hitter, and he's certainly not blessed with supersonic speed by any means, but when they really started working with him and encouraging Juan Lagares to steal bases toward the end of last year, he was really good at it. He seemed to have an aptitude for reading pitchers, getting jumps, and he just really had that skill set, which is a nice little perk. If you're going to have him as your leadoff hitter and you're really going to commit to him and say, you know, you're the guy that we want out there 150 games a year, you know, it's a nice little thing to know that he can do that in addition to all the other things.
All right. Well, Anthony Nocomo, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.